The following program is brought to you by Winthrop University Hospital. It's the weekend. Be good to yourself. It's Katz's Corner with Dr. Aaron Katz and Dr. Philippa Cheatham, where you can get simple, straightforward answers to your questions about health, from diet and supplements to lifestyle changes. To reach Dr. Katz and Dr. Cheatham, call 800-848-WABC. Now, live on 77 WABC, the chairman of urology at Winthrop University Hospital in New York, with co-host Philippa Cheatham, attending in urology at Winthrop University Hospital, here is Dr. Aaron Katz.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome again to another live round of Katz's Corner here on WABC Radio in New York. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Katz, and I'm live. 1-800-848-WABC. That's right, 1-800-848-9222. Give me a call, and good morning, everyone. And, ooh, it's so cold out, Mike. It's freezing. What happened to the fall? I mean, there's no fall anymore, you know? It just seems like the winter is right here. Freezing cold. Dr. Cheatham is away this weekend, and so I'm alone in the studio. Well, as far as the host, but I do have a wonderful guest with me. We're going to get to him right away. I just want to let everyone know that we are continuing our prostate cancer education series at Winthrop. It's going rather well. And last month, I think we had our highest attendance ever with Dr. Joe Jamal. This month will be December 11th, and it will be with our wonderful co-faculty, Dr. Jeffrey Schiff, and he's an attending physician at Winthrop. It'll be on December 11th, starting promptly at 6:30, and he'll be talking about new managements of prostate cancer. And then after that, we'll have our support group for the patients only from 7:30 to 8:30, and you do need to sign up. So the phone call is, the phone number is 516-663. It is 2316, or you can always register online at prostatecancersupport@winthrop.org. We hope to see you all out there. It has been a wonderful turnout, and so many of the men and their spouses have had, really, they get the education, and then they also get to speak and talk with each other and talk about what they've been through and help others. And, well, if you're newly diagnosed, it doesn't matter if you have early stage or late stage cancer, it's been a wonderful thing for many of our patients and new friends as well that you get to meet. This morning, we have a guest in the studio. He is Dr. Naveed Masani, and he is the medical director of the outpatient dialysis unit at Winthrop. He's a wonderful guy. In fact, he gave our urology group grand rounds a few months ago, and we were just all so impressed with his fund of knowledge, his personality, and his ability to care for patients. He's been at Winthrop for about 10 years, and he's a board-certified nephrologist, and he's going to talk to us this morning, very important topic, about kidney function and, well, the role of, or how you can prevent you're getting into problems with your kidneys. And if you want to reach him, you can call 516-663-2169. We were talking before the studio about many of the aspects of kidney function, kidney disease, and what you can do to keep your kidneys healthy. Good morning, Naveed. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Katz. I'm doing well, thank you. I hope everyone out there has is warmed up.
And, well, they're all home, or they're in their cars. Yeah. Did you? Where did you come from this morning, actually?
I came from Westbury, Long Island. A nice, chilly ride over.
Yeah.
But no traffic. That's the one good thing about traveling at this time of the morning.
That's for sure. That's why, that's what gets me out of bed. No traffic. That's why every morning when I go to Winthrop, I leave at like 4:30 in the morning because there's just no traffic. Well, let's talk about, you know, what we're seeing now. We were talking before the show started this morning that men are living longer, and women, you know, and a lot of that is because we're able to keep our hearts healthier and our bodies healthier. And with that comes along the kidneys, which are extremely important. You're going to tell us about that. So tell us about aging and kidney function. Yeah. How does that relate?
So it's become a very important part of health, I would say, and a more recognized complication, as heart doctors have gotten very good at keeping patients alive longer with medications, with technology. There has been an increasing awareness that kidney disease is developing among that population particularly, and they share some of the more common risk factors. Those risk factors specifically being diabetes, high blood pressure, weight gain, smoking. So a lot of those risk factors tend to match up. And as the heart, which is so important, it's for many obvious reasons, but also to kidney function, that heart is the pump. The kidney is a filter that keeps your blood clean and free of poisons.
Yeah, you know, you were telling us before the show, oh, let me ask you, diabetes comes up so much on this show. It affects so many different organs. How does it affect the kidneys? I mean, because it's a sugar problem. Your sugar's out of whack, and it's a high level, but yet it's affecting kidney function. How does that happen?
So it's interesting. What diabetes and high blood sugars do in terms of the kidney is places an increased stress on the kidney. And what it does is make the kidneys work overtime. Now, in the short term, that may not sound like a horrible thing. Your filters are working overtime to keep your blood clean. What happens in the long term, and if you can imagine this in any factory that's working overtime, there's burnout. And what was not meant to happen to you through evolution or through as an individual, that your kidneys would work overtime on a constant basis. And what does happen with diabetes is that over time you lose that kidney function, as opposed to keeping that heavy duty extra overtime.
Can you get it back? Can you, if you, let's say you're diabetic and your sugars are over 400 and you're starting to have some deterioration in your kidney function, if you maintain a proper diet and maintain a proper weight, can you get reversal of your kidney function?
This is one of the toughest things about kidney disease. Once it sets in, it is very difficult to reclaim that function, that which has already been lost. Importantly, though, changes in terms of lifestyle, controlling your glucose levels, controlling your blood pressures, are very important to change the pace of the kidney disease so it won't progress further. So while we can't always get back what's been lost, we can stabilize that which is happening in front of us.
Yeah, because I mean, what we're all worried about with kidney function is dialysis. I mean, right. At Winthrop, you run the dialysis unit. You see. How many patients are on dialysis, actually, at our center?
Approximately, at our center, about 230 patients in total with different modalities of dialysis. If you look at the country right now, unfortunately, we have about 400,000, 450,000 patients on dialysis across the country. About 40% of that is due to diabetes.
Wow. 400,000 active patients on dialysis. That I'm sure, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, they're all covering this.
Right.
Any concern about coverage with the Affordable Care Act coming
down? So, you know, very importantly, I think when it comes to dialysis and kidney disease, I think one of the toughest parts about this for patients that we've seen at Winthrop is that it is such an unknown. You know, unfortunately, we know people that have cancer, we know people that have heart disease, and we know people that have made it through many of those types of horrible situations. When it comes to kidney disease, it is very much like Obamacare. It is an unknown to people.
Very good point. You know? Good point.
And I think what
you mean, because you have no symptoms, right? If you have early kidney disease, you don't. How do you know if your kidneys are deteriorating and going down?
Absolutely correct, Dr. Katz. That there is no chest pain equivalent of kidney disease.
Good point. Very good point. I like that. So you can't. Is there any warning signs?
The warning signs, initially, there are none. And this is, I can't stress this enough, that it's very hard to know, because you're born with, generally, about 110 to 120% of kidney function. Nature has given a lot of slack room, if you will. Kidney function symptoms generally don't start to happen until about 20-30% kidney function. It can be a very silent disease. And what we've got is a situation where, unless it's seen on a blood test, a very simple blood test, by the way, called a serum creatinine, very simple blood test, a common blood test that is done, and or on a urine sample. These are things that are well known to the insurance companies, because whenever you apply for health insurance, they're looking at this high in front center because of the awareness that they understand that kidney disease and what it can lead to. And that segues a little bit, Dr. Katz, to your question about coverage. It's very important, I think, that patients understand there is so much fear about dialysis, and it's understandable. There is nothing about dialysis that I would say is okay or fun or acceptable. That being said, in 2013, we understand that the best treatment for kidney failure, that is kidney function less than 15 or less than 10%, the best treatment is kidney transplantation.
Okay, we're going to get to that in a moment. 7:13 in the morning on Katz's Corner. You're listening to our special guest this morning, Dr. Naveed Masani, who is the director, the medical director of the outpatient dialysis unit at Winthrop. He's been there for 10 years. If you have a phone call, you can call us. We are live. A lot of patients say, are you really live every Sunday, Dr. Katz? Yes, we are live every Sunday. And it is 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Dr. Masani, you've told us a little bit about some of these risk factors, diabetes, obesity. And we can maybe stabilize the kidney function. Obesity, how does that affect kidney function? I mean, if you're overweight, I guess you have more pressure. Is it a blood pressure thing, so, or is it a volume issue?
It can actually tie into blood pressure, as much as obesity and blood pressure are certainly linked together. More importantly, I would say, if you could think of a situation where you have a swimming pool and a filter that keeps that swimming pool clean. If you double the size of the swimming pool, but the filter stays the same, imagine the stress that you've put on that filter.
Oh, that's powerful. That's very good. I like that. So say that again. If you're overweight and you think about your body as a pool.
Correct.
Yeah. Then.
And if that pool expands, so you've doubled the size of the swimming pool, the liters of water in that swimming pool.
Yeah.
That have to be cleaned on a minute-to-minute basis to keep that pool tempting to go swimming into,
and
if you will.
Your kidneys are your filter. They can't do it.
They can't do it.
It's too much.
Correct. And, you know, it's interesting. Most people with obesity do not develop kidney disease. And science is in the midst of trying to figure out why is it that a proportion of patients with obesity develop kidney disease. Not everyone shows the same stress on their kidney. The biggest sign of stress on the kidney, interestingly, is protein in the urine. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with anything? And the analogy there that I would ask the audience to think about is when you boil spaghetti, you put it into a strainer. The water should come out. The spaghetti should stay in. Think here of your kidneys as the strainer and protein as the spaghetti. If protein is leaking into your urine, spaghetti is leaking through the strainer.
You have great analogies. This is really, I love it. It's terrific. It makes so much sense. You can't get the spaghetti through the strainer. It's leaking out. And how would you know that? You'd have right. to get a simple urine test. So you go to a doctor and you say, check my urine for protein. Should there be any protein in your urine?
There should be nothing detectable on what we call a simple dipstick in the urine. There should be no detectable protein at most, a very tiny, minuscule amount.
Okay, and what if there is a little? What do you do? Can you get the spaghetti back
right,
in the strainer or not? what do you do then?
So
I guess then you get the blood test, the creatinine test?
Correct, absolutely correct.
Okay.
And at that point, you also do another simple urine test.
Yeah.
This is we've gone past big jugs of urine collection, a simple test called a random protein to creatinine ratio in the urine. That can help quantify how much protein is there to get a sense, better sense of, is this really a problem or is this something we just happen to pick up that's of no consequence?
Another urine test.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Now, by looking at the urine, because a lot of patients come in to me, too. They go, Dr. Katz, does that look normal to you? Like, it looks dark. Is it blood? And the urine, by looking at it, it can change throughout the day. And obviously, depending upon how much water we drink, I would assume. But is there anything you can look at in the urine just as a simple test at home to say, That's a problem. Maybe there's some spaghetti in my urine.
Yes. So if the urine is incredibly foamy or bubbly, that may be a sign, especially if you're swollen in the ankles and you've got this bubbly, foamy urine. That can be a sign of a lot of protein or spaghetti in the urine, if you will. Mm-hmm. Urine that is very dark, and this is a very subjective thing. When you wake up in the morning, because presumably you haven't been up all night drinking fluids or anything,
right,
you're going to have a little dark urine in the morning. That part is absolutely normal.
Okay.
And to your point, Dr. Katz, throughout the day, depending on how much fluid you drink, that will change the color of your urine. That said, if you see frank blood in your urine, if you see persistently dark or Coca-Cola colored urine, that's certainly a sign that there could be something wrong with the kidney.
Yeah.
And that requires further evaluation and testing.
Well, most people, if they see that, they're going to come in to see
Correct.
A doctor. But you're saying for the most part, you know, the urine... It looks fairly clear. We have a phone call about this. Let's hear from Dana. Good morning, Dana. You have a question for us about your urine. Go ahead.
Yes. my urine, I thought that something was wrong with me because I don't drink a lot of water. And I am a diabetic for 15 years. And I thought because my urine was so clear that was something wrong with me, because it's not from drinking a lot of water, because I don't.
Okay, so your question was just, you have very clear urine. Is that normal?
Yes.
I mean, I would think it's normal.
I would think it should be yellow, shouldn't it?
Dana, it's perfectly okay that your urine is clear. That I would.
Oh, you mean like clear like water, Dana? Like
yes,
it's no
like
yellow
water.
At all?
Yes, no yellow at all.
Interesting. So
that is interesting, right?
I would say to you, you're probably drinking a decent amount. Dana,
no, she says she's not, though, right?
I hardly drink water at all.
What about other fluids, then?
No, I just don't drink that much.
Okay. Is your sugars controlled, Dana, if I might ask?
Not lately.
Oh.
I'm trying to control it, but it's hard.
Have you had a kidney test, Dana, like a creatinine test?
I do take that. I do have a home testing kit, like to test for protein.
Yeah.
And it's excellent, you know.
Okay.
So maybe I'm okay.
Right. All right. Thanks for your phone call, Dana. Dr. Masani, is that okay to do a home test, by the way?
Yeah, I would tell you that, you know, a home test for urine protein is probably not the best way to do it.
Really?
Especially being a diabetic, I think that diabetics have to be extremely careful being in a big risk population for kidney disease, and that you really want a specific urine test called a urine for microalbumin. That is, albumin is the main protein that comes out, and that is
okay. So let's tell people that again. So a urine for microalbumin.
Correct.
That's the test you want to ask for, Dana. I see that she left the line, but I'm a little concerned about her. I mean,
Correct.
She's diabetic. She has this completely clear urine, like water. That doesn't. It seems like maybe there's something concentrating ability of the kidney that's abnormal there.
Correct. And I think that what concerns me most about Dana's situation is that the glucose levels may not be as well controlled as they should be. That leads to the body depleting itself of fluids itself. High glucose levels leads to what we call dehydration or loss of body fluids. It actually makes you very thirsty, interestingly enough. And one of the cardinal signs of diabetes is just that.
Let's hear from another phone caller, Artie in Montvale, New Jersey. Good morning, sir.
Hi, doctors. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I'd like to ask the doctor a question. I have, I've had kidney problems for years, well over 25 years. Very high creatinine levels.
How high now? Let's talk about how high is it?
Joni, how high is it about?
Uh-huh. Here we go. That's why you need the wife, because, you
know how
this is it.
They know all.
He knows it's wrong,
Joni,
doesn't
he? How high is it?
Turn the radio down, Artie.
Yeah, it's very high. I don't know exactly. It's in the 20s, low 30s.
Well, that would be outrageously high, because the normal, right, Dr. Masani, I mean, I'm a urologist, but, I mean, I've done taken care of a lot of kidney problems. It's around 1.5, right?
Normal is 1 flat.
1 flat?
1 flat, 1 to 1. Once you hit 1.5, you want to see a kidney doctor at that point.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But okay. All I know, I get treated.
Just turn your radio down, Artie. Cause
I get monitored every 3 months. But my main question is, I have hepatitis C.
Okay.
And at the same time I got diagnosed with hepatitis C, all of a sudden the kidney levels, were the protein in my urine, at the same time, basically got diagnosed at the same time.
Okay.
Well, and I've been told all along there's no correlation between the hepatitis C and my kidney problems. And I just, feel that that it all happened at the same time.
Okay, let's answer your question because we're short on time. Thank you for your phone call, Artie.
Okay.
Is there a connection between liver disease and kidneys?
Yeah, there certainly exists of the possibility of that, Artie, and for everything that you're going through. What I would tell you that it is possible that there is a connection between the hepatitis C and the protein in your urine. That doesn't mean that it has to be so. When we talk about risk factors, diabetes and high blood pressure are the top two. Hepatitis C is actually a risk factor for kidney disease. That doesn't mean that it has to be that the hep C is connected. One of the things that your kidney doctor would do would be blood tests that would help them separate out kidney disease from diabetes or kidney disease from hepatitis C. It's not always possible to tell on the blood tests. You may need a kidney biopsy. It's rare. When we talk about kidney biopsies, we're not talking about kidney cancer. We are talking about diseases that attack the kidney.
Do we do that at Winthrop, the kidney biopsies?
We absolutely do.
Is that something you have to be in a hospital for, or is that an outpatient thing?
It is an outpatient procedure.
Right.
We ask that you, it's called a 23-hour stay, and we ask that you stay overnight to make sure that there are no complications of the kidney biopsy procedure. It is done because of the concern of bleeding, and to make sure that no consequences happen.
But you're only going to get a biopsy if, I guess, you have these abnormal protein in your urine?
Correct.
Or if you have the elevated creatinine over 1, then that would be a reason to have the biopsy?
It would be a combination of things, Dr. Katz, where the standard patient that comes into our office 95% of the time does not need a kidney biopsy. There is a small sliver of patients that require a kidney biopsy to help determine further what is causing the kidney disease and what is the prognosis for that kidney disease. Importantly, like many other conditions, if caught early, we can change or alter or slow the pace of the course of that kidney disease.
One of the other things I hear about all the time is you shouldn't take over-the-counter Motrin, Aleve, too much, because those things, those non-steroidal medications, aspirin-like medications, can affect kidneys. Is that true?
Correct. Absolutely correct. And I can't stress this enough, that if you have kidney disease or you're in a population that is at risk for kidney disease, would really suggest that you avoid those medications like Advil, Aleve, Motrin.
Why? What do they do?
What they do is they cause you to retain more salt water. What they do is they compromise the blood flow to the kidney, and they lead to worsening kidney damage over time, and they're an additional risk factor for worsening kidney disease.
Now you're not talking about somebody that's taking 2 Advil a week, right? I mean, or could it happen with that small amount?
See, and this is where it is so important that you talk to your doctors and have an individualized kind of a risk stratification or a risk profile done for yourself. There are plenty of people out there that take once a month, twice a month, Advil or Motrin.
Right.
And if you have kidney disease, that's an absolute no. That should be, those medications should be minimized as much as possible, ideally eliminated.
Do they tell, like, people with diabetes or high blood pressure not to take these? Because they're at risk for kidney disease, you're saying. So
oftentimes what we find at Winthrop is that these type of situations, because there's so much to discuss during a visit between you and your doctor, something like this is a small enough point that it may get missed. And until you actually sit down and ask specifically or are seeing a kidney doctor, I would tell you kidney doctors are very good at making sure patients don't take these medications. It's one of the big stop signs in our office, for example.
So those are things that can hurt the kidney. What about a lot of times, you know, our audience wants to know about nutrition. What about diet, herbal compounds, vitamins that can help the kidneys? Anything like that?
So importantly, there are no known herbal or vitamins or GNC-type supplements that can help the kidney, so to speak. If anything, potential exists for harm when you're taking things that have not been scientifically looked at.
Right.
What, interestingly enough, as far as lifestyle and diet go, it goes hand in hand with heart disease. What you want is an active lifestyle. What you want is to avoid smoking. What you want is to make sure that your diet is relatively lower in caloric intake and slanted towards a slightly higher protein balance. Importantly, if you have kidney disease, many kidney doctors believe that you should avoid a high protein diet.
Okay. So you're not going to be doing extra protein shakes. If you're
Correct.
Going to the gym and you have kidney disease, don't do that.
Correct. You can have a reasonable amount of protein intake, but it should not be a high protein diet. Correct.
Before the show ends, I just want to give Dr. Masani's information out. We've been talking with him today, Dr. Naveed Masani. He is the medical director of the outpatient dialysis unit at Winthrop. His number is 516-663-2169. You've been terrific, Naveed. Really, we're going to have you back because the phones are lit up here. We have so many people, and I'm sorry that the show is so short. In ending this conversation today, you've been at Winthrop, and you've been in a nephrologist for 10 years. What advances have you seen? What's impressed you most now?
First and foremost, it's the awareness. It's the awareness among physicians. It's the awareness among patients of kidney disease. And it's growing. While it still remains somewhat cloudy, I think it's very scary to walk into a kidney doctor's office not knowing. And it's important that if you see a kidney doctor, you ask them exactly where am I in terms of percentage of kidney function. The other thing that has really advanced has been that we have gotten safer, I believe, with dialysis. I will not say again that it is easy on patients. Patients adapt incredibly to things that you would never expect that a person would be able to adapt to.
What about getting them off dialysis and onto transplant?
Correct.
Do we do that
and
at Winthrop?
We have an affiliation as a major referral center for transplantation. Our outpatient dialysis unit has one of the highest rates of transplantation relative to other dialysis units. And again, I cannot stress enough that if you are a candidate for transplant, please pursue that. That is the best treatment for kidney failure long term. Improves how you feel and improves the length of your life. Very few treatments do that combination.
We're doing well with transplantation now. Huh?
Correct. Much better.
Why is that?
Well,
better medications or surgery or
absolutely
or both?
The cornerstone has been better medications. And importantly, when we talk about transplant, we stress that it's a treatment for kidney disease because you must take medications that keep your immune system from chewing up the transplanted kidney. And it is very important that those medications be taken consistently. But those medications have gotten better. The side effect profile of those medications has gotten better. And the protection that it blankets the transplanted kidney with has been much more efficacious in terms of efficacy has been better.
Well, what's the average time now that someone's on dialysis and then goes to transplant?
So this is really important, and this goes to the advancement question that you mentioned.
Oh, sorry. That's the music. You know what, Naveed? You're a terrific guest. Your energy, everything that you're saying, your fund of knowledge, we're going to have you back. Really an important topic. And ties in a lot to what we talk about here. With trying to be healthy aging. I don't believe in the anti-aging. I love healthy aging. And keeping the kidneys healthy, well, that's going to be, that's so important for all of us. Have a wonderful day, everyone. I hope that you enjoyed the show. This is Dr. Aaron Katz.